Good evening, everyone, and welcome to our evening service. Please stand and turn in your hymn books to hymn number 63, Glory to His Name, number 63.
Adoration. Oh Lord, how we just pray that you would work in our hearts tonight. Help us to honor you the way we ought. We thank you for the promise of your word that tells us that where we gather together, you will gather with us. You will meet with us. Oh, how we thank you for that, oh Lord. But we pray that as we come, that we might bring to you our worship, our praise, that might be honorable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord. And Lord, that we might be those who hear the word of God, learn from it, and Lord, grow in knowledge of who you are. Bless our time, O Lord, we pray. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Heaven came down and glory fills my soul, I believe.
Thank you, Braden. What a chorus that, isn't it? Heaven came down and glory filled my soul when at the cross the Savior made me whole. Glad that you're here tonight, indeed. You know, as we prepare these messages, I don't know, gentlemen, if you're like I am. You think, I'm preparing this, and of course, we start preparing 2 weeks, 3 weeks, if you're like me, a long time before, because it takes me a long time. Has it ever come to your mind, as it has mine, I would hope that no one else has taken this topic. And that's in the back of your mind until one day you get up and you turn Focus on the Bible on this morning. And the topic was my topic. So if there's any...
Thank you for your notes.
Yes, okay. So, you know, I don't usually think this, but I said to Iris, I hope many people this morning woke up too late for Focus on the Bible. Oh my. However, we'll do what we can. And I think as Braden said to me, there's always a reason someone else has to hear that method. Well, let's try and tackle it. For our scripture reading tonight, I have chosen a number of verses. And as much as possible, I've arranged them in chronological order, going from one gospel to another. I've limited myself to include only passages that would have been of significance to the one we have come to know as the thief on the cross. I've made copies. I trust that you all have a copy. Those at home, you can follow. I did send that when I sent the morning notes as well. So, just follow along as I read. I'd like to read all these scriptures just to set the scene for us. So we begin then with Luke chapter 23, verses 32 and 33. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Mark 15:23. And they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. Luke 23:34. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. Matthew 27:39-43. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. John 19:19. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Matthew 27:44. The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. And one of the, Luke 23:39-43, and one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Now, there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother, and the disciples standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. Mark 15:33-34. And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? John 19:28-30. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Luke 23:46 adds as well, And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Matthew 27:51-54. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. Now, when the centurion, and they that were with him watching Jesus, saw the earthquake, and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, Truly, this was the Son of God. John 19:31-34. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the bodies should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath was a high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. May the Lord help us to learn more from his word as we think about that this evening. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we come to look into your word this evening, we would give thanks, O Lord. We thank you for it and for this privilege of being able to learn from it. We ask that you would guide us as we endeavor to glean from it knowledge that would strengthen and encourage us as believers, and that you would work in the hearts of any who may be struggling with uncertainty as to how they could enter heaven's gate. We ask in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Christianity, or perhaps better said, salvation, is about people coming into a right relationship, a personal relationship with God by recognizing that they are sinners, repenting and believing that the Lord Jesus Christ has paid the penalty for their sins. Right through the Old Testament, God, acting in grace, accepted people on the basis of their faith, which showed itself in their belief or their trust in God, repentance and obedience. The Old Testament sacrifices could not and were not meant to abolish sin, because only Christ's death on the cross could do that. The sacrifices were a means by which people could confess their sins and show their repentance. They demonstrated that sin was worthy of death, and God accepted these spotless animals as a temporary covering for sin. All of these sacrifices pointed to the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. But what about the thief? What about the thief who died on the cross on one side of the Lord Jesus Christ? How does he fit into this picture? Let us use the scriptures and our imagination, a bit of our imagination there, to look at this man. He'd likely grown up in a Jewish home and knew about the Old Testament law and the sacrificial system. At one time, he may have visited the temple with his family. Like many Jews, he may have hoped for a Messiah who would free the Jews from Roman oppression. He had likely grown up in a Jewish home and learn the Old Testament. However, at some point in time, he must have turned away from what the Ten Commandments and the law taught. Perhaps he had seen the hypocrisy of the religious leaders. Perhaps he despised the Romans and the tax collectors and how they cheated his family. Whatever the reason, this man turned to a life of crime. Probably his first attempt at stealing were petty, but at some point being a thief became a way of life until he finally had been caught. He was sentenced to death by crucifixion. He was to be made a public example as a warning to deter others. Unlike most of us, he knew the exact day he would die. We've no idea what his thoughts were as he and the two others were led out to that cruel place of death called Golgotha, the place of the skull. We don't know if he had ever heard about the Lord Jesus before this day, but he certainly saw the one who was nailed to the center cross, just a few feet away. Perhaps at first he could think only of his own pain as the nails pierced his hands and his feet. This was followed by the agony as the cross was dropped into a hole and then placed upright. I wonder if he had noticed that the man on the center cross had refused the wine mixed with myrrh that might have deadened the pain a little. He must have been shocked when he heard the man on the center cross clearly speak, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Forgive them? Forgive them? How can he ask God to forgive his executioners? These were the only words that Jesus spoke at the beginning. But the crowds of people had plenty to say as the three men on the crosses struggled just to breathe. He heard the mocking words. You who are going to destroy the temple and build it up in 3 days, come down from the cross and save yourself. The religious leaders, the chief priests and the teachers of the law, forgetting their dignity, cried out, He saved others, but he can't save himself. If he's the king of Israel, let him come down now from the cross and we will believe in him. He trusted in God. Let God rescue him now, if he wants him, for he said, I am the Son of God. Now the thief not only heard, but he insulted the Lord Jesus Christ as well. At some point, the thief must have wondered why everyone was focused on ridiculing the one on the center cross. The Lord Jesus had obviously already been badly beaten and mocked with a crown of thorns. But even with all this, he wasn't saying anything. Was it at this time that the thief really took note of the sign that was above Jesus' head? This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. All four gospel writers include the words on this sign. What thoughts went through the thief's mind? Could this man really be the Messiah? The Son of God? The crowd claimed that he had saved others, but he was dying. If Jesus is a king, obviously his kingdom isn't of this world. His kingdom must be beyond death. The other thief hurled the insult, Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the thief in our story suddenly realized the truth and called out, Don't you fear God? Since you are under the same sentence, we deserve this punishment. But this man has done nothing wrong. With those few words, the thief recognized and admitted his sinfulness. He even realized that the wages of sin is death. He knew that he had to give account to God. And he also realized that Jesus did not deserve death. He was not a sinner. He had even offered forgiveness in the single sentence that he had spoken. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The thief must have wondered if this one who was willing to offer mercy to the soldiers who crucified him, might possibly do the same for him. He turned to Jesus and asked, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom? What did that single request mean? The thief believed that Jesus was who he claimed to be. He addressed him as Lord. In doing so, he took a stand against the crowd, against the religious leaders, and against the other thief. He placed himself into the hands of Jesus. He believed and left the rest up to the Lord Jesus. Can you imagine the thief's amazement when he heard the response of the Lord Jesus. I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise. Jesus spoke directly to this dying thief. He gave him an unconditional promise, today. I'm sure that it must have been a shock to the thief. You will be with me in paradise. Paradise, today. Could he fathom that possibility? He, a criminal, now forgiven, would be in paradise today. That meant that both he and the Lord Jesus would die that day because Jesus had said, with me in paradise. This thief trusted Christ and went to heaven the very same day. He didn't get to live the Christian life. He didn't have the joy of obeying in baptism, having Christian fellowship, or serving the Lord. He was a child of God for only a few hours here on earth before he died. Oh, but what hours of testing they were. Until this point, the Lord Jesus had spoken only twice. He prayed for his enemies, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he promised the thief paradise today. The next thing the thief heard from the Lord Jesus were the words to his mother, Mary, and the Apostle John. In spite of his own agony, the Lord Jesus lovingly made arrangements for his mother's care. And the thief would see this selfless act and perhaps wonder at such love. But the next moment, there was darkness. 3 hours of complete black. Darkness over the whole land. From noon sun to complete darkness. It must have been a terrifying 3 hours for that thief. He couldn't even see the Lord Jesus. Everything was black until about 3 p.m. when the Lord Jesus cried with a loud voice, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The very thought that God had forsaken the Lord Jesus must have terrified the thief. If God had forsaken his Savior, was there any hope for him? What about Jesus' promise? The thief's faith was being stretched, but now how amazed he must have been at the loud voice. He could hardly breathe, never mind speak out loud, but the Lord Jesus was different. He was in control right to the end. The Lord Jesus said that he was thirsty, this in order to fulfill Scripture. The thief must have watched as a sponge with vinegar was put to Jesus' lips, and he said, it is finished. The Lord Jesus had completed his mission. Once again, the Lord Jesus called out with a loud voice, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Jesus shouted at the moment of his death. How unusual. Then the thief watched as the Lord Jesus, completely in control, bowed his head and gave up his spirit. His death was a deliberate act of his will. Jesus was dead, but the thief was alive. And still on the cross, when there was a terrible earthquake and the rocks split, People must have been running and screaming, and his own cross must have been shaking. How frightened he must have been. To his amazement, he heard the Roman centurion who was standing guard speaking. Surely, this man was the Son of God. Even the hardened Roman soldier was fully aware that this was no normal death. I suspect that these few words, the Son of God, encouraged the suffering thief. He had entrusted himself to the Lord Jesus, and even the soldier recognized what the religious leaders had missed. The centurion was impressed by the sign, the darkness, and the earthquake. But that the Lord Jesus possessed enough strength to cry loudly at the moment of his death was remarkable to a man who had witnessed so many other crucifixions. Such a victorious death had no other explanation. He must be the Son of God. I wonder how the thief felt as he saw the Lord Jesus die. Was there a feeling of loneliness? Did he feel abandoned? He must have wondered where Jesus had gone. He had said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Jesus was already there. He'd gone ahead. He had committed his spirit to God the Father. He must have wondered how Jesus' words would be fulfilled. Today. Today. That meant that before sunset, he would be in paradise too. Victims of crucifixion often hung on the cross for days. But he was to die today. How long time must have seemed to the thief as he pushed with his legs to lift his body so that he could take a breath. That was the only relief he had. But that too changed. As he saw the soldiers approaching with their clubs, he knew that this relief would soon be over. As they mercilessly beat and broke his legs, he could no longer lift himself to take a breath. I wonder if the thief lived long enough to see the soldier pierce Jesus' side to make sure that he was dead. Scripture doesn't tell us that. However, we do know that Jesus had given his promise, and the former thief was experiencing being with Christ in heaven. He was the first believer to enter heaven's gates after the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Excuse me. I'd like to share a poem by William Runyon. It's entitled, Christ in Paradise. See, Father, I have brought with me this trophy rare. We both were hanging on a tree. I heard his prayer. And since for sinners there I bled, for him the crimson stream was shed. I heard that cry, "Remember me." My soul is stung, too piteous his agony as there we hung. My word I pledge within a trice today with me in paradise. The first fruits of my dying there to thee I yield. O Father, what the harvest rare from that world field. This malefactor first to come leads all the ransomed sinners home. The thief's prayer for mercy was gloriously answered that Good Friday. However, I would plead with you not to be like the thief on the cross and wait until the last day of your life on earth. You may not have that opportunity. God is reaching out in mercy and is ready to save all who come to Him by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Trusting Christ does not mean that things will be easy. The trusting thief had only a few hours to live, hours that were filled with pain, darkness, and testing. But the Lord Jesus was with him and gave him strength. Our sins are against God and deserve death. But the Lord Jesus endured the agonies of hell for all who will trust him as Lord and Savior. The thief on the cross did not endure in eternal punishment. He is still in paradise with his loving Savior. The Lord Jesus took his place. Are you prepared? Are you prepared to one day join them there? It's a question we need to ask ourselves. In closing, I'd like to read another poem. This one entitled Redemption Through Christ. Weary of earth and laden with my sin, I looked at heaven and longed to enter in. But there no evil thing may find a home, and yet I hear a voice that bids me come. So vile I am, how dare I hope to stand in the pure glory of that holy land? Before the whiteness of that throne appear, yet there are hands stretched out to draw me near. The while I fain would tread the heavenly way, evil is ever with me day by day, yet on my ears the gracious tidings fall. Repent, confess, thou shalt be loosed from all. It is the voice of Jesus that I hear. His are the hands stretched out to draw me near, and his the blood that can for all atone and set me faultless there before the throne. 'Twas he who found me on the deadly wild and made me heir of heaven, the Father's child. And day by day, whereby my soul may live, gives me his grace of pardon and will give. Yes, thou wilt answer for me, righteous Lord. Thine all the merits, mine the great reward. Thine the sharp thorns, and mine the golden crown. Mine the life won, and thine the life laid down. Braden, would you come for our closing hymn then, please? When We See Christ.
Please stand for the singing of our closing hymn, number 216, When We See Christ, number 216. standing for prayer.
God moves in a mysterious way his wonders to perform. You fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds you so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head. His purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. Our Heavenly Father, we marvel at the way you have worked and are working in the hearts of sinners to bring them to yourself. We were reminded this evening that it is because of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ that any of us enjoy salvation, the forgiveness of sins, the certainty of a home in heaven where the forgiven sinner will be forever with the Lord. Lord, continue your mighty work of salvation in our midst and throughout the world, we pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.